A doula provides unconditional support, resources, love to families before, during, and after pregnancy. And the Mace Anthony Williamson Foundation Doula Project Resource is the voice for families and babies. So we are supporting families up to year five and beyond.
Hey, what name of this show?
I Talk Great.
I Talk Great.
Are you a business owner, entrepreneur, entertainer, and you got a story to tell? You want to get your brand out there to the world? Well, you reached the right place. Let's set up an exclusive interview between me and you, I Talk Great, and we're going to go ahead and get your brand out there to the world. But here's what you do. Go ahead and send me an email with the words gray at italkgraymedia@gmail.com. See you soon. Y'all already know what it is. It's Mr. Williams with the I Talk Great podcast. And before we get started, if you like everything that I've been doing, you like the content, you like all the value that I've been sharing, go ahead and click that like button below. Sorry. And share, subscribe, tell a friend, right? This is what we're here for. Yeah. Yes, and I am here with my. Yeah. What's going on, Queen?
Oh, you know, nothing much. I'm just in a sunny city of Miami.
Yes, you are.
Yes, Lord. My God.
305?
Yes, big 305 from 727 to 305, right?
Well, 954. Right now, you're in the 954.
I'm in the 954. Okay.
Yes.
Respect.
Boop, boop. Hold on. So, where you coming from?
St. Pete, Pinellas County. Yeah.
Pinellas County. 727.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what's up.
Yes, thank you for having me. I want to say that.
Yes. You know, we've been following each other for a minute now.
Yes, we have.
You know what I mean? So when you hit me with the call, like you was going to be down here for Super Cindy Day,
yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yes.
Let's make this happen.
It was only right.
So just give us a little rundown, like, of who you are, where you from. Is St. Pete your origin, or that's just where you went to?
Got it. So my name is Mai Waller, but my Kayari is here in the building. Listen, and I'm from
Kayari. That's your alter ego?
Yeah. So my Kayari is my rap name. My is of course my name, but Kayari, it means short and strong. And I feel like that was just the perfect name for me. I was like, okay, I am short. I am strong.
Okay.
So I'm my Kayari when I do music.
Kayari is is that another language?
Where it is. I can't give you the exact origin right now, but I know when I looked it up that's what I saw. I'm like, okay.
Oh, like you made up your own word.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, words is made up.
No, this one right here, K-A-apostrophe-A-R-I. If you look it up right now, you will see that it means short and strong.
You sure?
I am absolutely
in what language?
Sure. Hold on. I like research.
Yes, let's do the research because she over here. You know
Hold
when people
on,
get the
I ain't
tats
gonna lie.
On their arm,
you know, I ain't gonna
and
lie.
They meet the Asian person and then they're like, "Yo, bro, that means how Wichita." It's like, bro, you got that tatted on your arm, and that don't even mean.
Ooh, and then
love.
Even better, listen. So let me also correct myself. See, because what I looked up, it did say that Kayari meant short and strong, but then God is good. The meaning of Kayari means rare. Excellence.
What?
Precious stone. So in turn, let's go ahead and turn that around and say something even greater. Yeah,
okay.
I'd rather be that, right? Short
yes.
and strong. See that carries a negative connotation a little bit.
All
but
right.
I like this. Precious.
Precious.
Excellence.
Okay. Excellence.
Yes. But I'm from St. Pete, born and raised.
All right.
Yeah. My mom, I'm the baby of seven children, and she had all of her kids at Bayfront Hospital. Yep, in St.
So
Pete.
Born and raised in St. Pete.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you been anywhere else? Have you traveled anywhere else?
Yes.
Have you been outside the city?
Oh, listen. I lived in Greensboro, North Carolina. I moved from St. Petersburg. Well, before I moved to Greensboro, I went to the Army. So, yes.
Really?
Yes. I went to the Army.
Hold on. Let's run it back. Okay. So, St. Pete. Did you do your school there?
Yes,
elementary?
Graduated. I graduated at Lakewood High School. And then I tried to go to St. Petersburg College. I did great, but I just felt like this was too slow for me. Like,
so what were you going
that,
to
it
college
just wasn't
for?
For me, even though I was really smart.
What were
I
you
just,
going to college for?
Oh, dental. Yeah, I wanted to be a dental hygienist. Right.
That's why your teeth so white and clean and sparkly.
Jeez. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. So what happened with that? Why you didn't follow through?
So, again, like I said, I felt like life was just moving slow. But in the process of me going to college, I was trying to build my portfolio so I could move to Atlanta, Georgia. I was 18 years old at the time. And I went through something really tragic that kind of deterred me from going to Atlanta. You know, it was.
You mind sharing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I absolutely will share it. So I was 18. I met with a photographer. It was a guy. He was in Clearwater, Florida.
Okay.
And I met with him. I wasn't really, I lied to my daddy, really. I used this car, I lied to him, told him that I was going to do something else, but I was really doing that. Now, this is why I shouldn't have did that.
So you trying to be a model?
Yes. Yep. Okay. And when I went to do my pictures, well, and acting, everything, like I wanted to do music, but that was the last thing I was thinking about. Like I wanted to do modeling, print shit, because I ain't have kids or nothing. I had a body. I got a body out. Body now. Yeah, fresh.
Body, yaddy, yaddy.
Yeah.
All right.
But the guy, he... It was an attempt to human traffic me, really. Yeah, he got me all the way out there, did all these pictures. And, I won't even say human traffic. He was trying to sexually assault me. But I talked my way out of that shit. I thank God for this slick 50 right here. Because I was like, listen, my daddy is at that mall waiting on me to get back to him. You know, he's at his car waiting on me to get back.
What made you say, okay, not the human trafficking, but what made you say sexually assault?
Because he asked me for sex. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he asked me for sex.
So he asked you, where did the assault come in? Did he try to take it?
Well, it was an attempt. It was an attempt. So I'm like, well, I'm not doing that, you know? And it was just the language, really. It was the language of it. And he was really trying to get that out of me for doing my pictures. And I'm like, well, I could pay you for doing my pictures.
Nah, you know what I'm saying? Trying to pay. If you pay like you weigh, then you can stay, like, baby.
I will pay you to do my pictures, but I was only 18.
Assault come in? Did he try to take it?
No, he didn't. He didn't. Well, his verbiage was what I needed to hear. Shit, that was what it was.
Okay, so it was more like, okay.
Words carry.
Okay.
See, well, I came here and I did your picture, so what you going to do? Pay for them? Well, I don't want your money. Well, what do you want? You know what I want. Like, it's like, it was that, that was the verbiage of it. So I'm well, my daddy is waiting on me. I'm a virgin. Lying like hell. Started having sex at 14 years old. But I needed to get out of there.
Probably made it worse when you said you was a V.
Yeah, right. I probably did.
Like,
I ain't think.
Yeah,
he's
like, yo.
I thought that would help the situation.
Seems
I was only
like
18.
You ready?
No, was not.
You know, okay.
Was not. But yeah, so that was something that just kind of deterred my dreams because I was scared. It was fear.
So that made you like fearful of getting into the music
industry,
game?
In the whole industry, period, of entertainment. Yeah. Because I'm like, dang, people are like that. Even just about simply building the portfolio has to be the portfolio. You know what I'm saying? To do modeling and stuff, they want to see your portfolio. So you have to have pictures.
Yeah.
So if that's what I have to do to even get the portfolio, I don't even want to do the shit, period.
Well, I'm you could have found a female photographer and kind of pivoted. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like a lot of people, when they come into roadblocks, when it comes to things that they're trying to pursue.
Yeah.
They say, man, this ain't for me. This ain't for me. No, that's not necessarily true. It just means, okay, you may have to go another way.
Yeah.
You know, because you do have the beauty and, you know, you got the soul chocolatey thing going on. You know what I'm saying? So,
listen.
You know, I mean, but it's still not too late for you. You know, we got my guy, Tony Visions. You know what I'm saying? Everything is legit and legal, right?
Good.
Okay. So that happened,
yep.
Right? So how did you go from that to the Army?
Okay, so,
gats, like.
Well, this is why. Because I felt like I wasn't prepared, you know, for that situation. You know, I wasn't. My mom did not prepare me for people coming to try to, you know, take me out. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, no, like, I need to elevate. And I was... It was really honestly, I'm working on this too, people pleasing. Like, I wanted to make my mama proud, so I went to the Army. But, and also my grandma, rest in peace, Betty. I went, but God knew that that's not where I was meant to be at. So I got all the way to 2 weeks before graduation. And
so you didn't get deployed?
No, I did not. I was in basic training. But a soldier, I was in a leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
God is funny. He always puts me in a leadership position. So another leader, she came back from break and she just felt like she was done. She met a guy who was in the Army and she was ready to marry him and she didn't want to be in the Army anymore. And I'm like, well, you have to still be a leader. And I had to pull her car and go talk to the drill sergeants and she ended up hitting me in my shit. But I ain't fight her because they told us, they said, if you fight, you got to go. So I'm like, okay, well, I ain't going to fight her. She just hit me. Y'all seen it. But they wanted me to like cry and beg for that career. And I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong.
What were you going for again?
I was going to be a 68 Delta or 62 or 68. Sorry, it's been 13 years since then, or 10 years. Sorry.
Delta, you talking about like 65, baby?
No,
like,
that's not it. That's what they call it. That's the MOS. But I was going to be a surgical tech in the Army. Yes, oh, so I would have been getting deployed. Yeah, I probably would have been over
there. Okay, so you would have been like helping the doctor at the bedsides when people get injured and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. It brings me to emotions to talk about that because I haven't. So, I was hurt by it, but I felt like it wasn't meant. I got through everything. I learned how to shoot. Mm-hmm. I learned how to fight good. I learned how to, so you know stand up for myself.
Cop back to nine? Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep,
all right.
So, you know.
So what's your favorite gun to use?
I don't have a favorite because I really don't. I don't have a weapon but I know that we're in a time where we do need to protect ourselves. Absolutely.
No, that's facts.
Yeah, but I just feel like God is my shield and protection and armor.
Hey.
Yeah.
G-O-D.
That's it.
God did.
That.
Okay, so, all right. So you finished with that, right?
I came back home.
I got to ask you, what brought you here? You're going to be at Super Cindy Day, right? How did you click up with Super Cindy? Like, that's major right there. Yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, the power of Instagram, right? Like, the same way that we connected, you know?
Yeah.
I want to thank the creators of Instagram, and I want to thank God for creating the creators of Instagram, because God is a creator, and he only creates the greatest. Instagram is the greatest, period. And they have the greatest on the platform. This is my opinion. My opinion, right?
Yep.
I say that only to say they connected me with the greatest. So even if they're just the best, the greatest are on their platform. So I used it, and I damn sure used the shit out of Instagram. I worked.
So you be jumping in DMs?
Yeah, of course you have to. You have to put yourself out there. Like, I don't get responded to all the time. So when I saw her post about Super Cindy Day and needing vendors, and I'm like, this is in Miami, Florida, and I'm like, okay, that's 4 hours away. Like, this is the time. And I felt like that was God calling my phone and saying, are you going to pick the phone up or not? So I did. And I
DM'd
her.
God was calling your phone, telling you, yo, you better go ahead and make that happen.
Yeah, because I do it to everyone else.
But were you prepared for the situation?
Or was
it just a spur of the moment kind of thing?
No, I was prepared. I have been preparing for 2.5 years for this, you know, working for this nonprofit. Boom. Mm-hmm. The Mace Anthony Williamson Foundation. Anthony. Listen, okay. So
right. We're going to touch on that.
Yeah, we will. So just know that that was the way in, because she needed vendors. I have an organization.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, this is a community women empowerment event. Yeah. I'm a Black woman that started this organization. This is a perfect alignment.
So are you going to be selling something, or what are you going to be presenting?
So I'm going to be an informational vendor there. So I'll be there with my booth, with all of my goodies for people to know what we're about to bring to this community, because I didn't just come here just to be a vendor. No, I came here to be a vendor, to give information, to let them know what's coming and what's on the way.
Hey.
Oh yeah, it's on the way, sweetheart. Okay. I'm finna be hiring.
So did you come down here with your team, your entourage? Who are you here with? Where are your people them?
Well, my team is back in St. Petersburg, Florida. And they know the vibes. Love y'all so much. Okay.
What made you come by yourself though?
Well, I had to, because one, everybody couldn't just bust a move like how I was able to. And I used to not be able to do that. I worked a 9-to-5 job. But when I lost my job from working on this organization 4 months ago, I said, okay, well, that must be what I'm supposed to be doing. It's just strictly this. So everything that I could do to align with other people with like minds, I did that.
Yeah.
So this was just a no-brainer. And she knew that, you know, for me to come and be here. And she saw the value in that.
Who are you talking about? Super Cindy?
Super Cindy, yeah. But my team, they couldn't be here only for their own personal lives. But they're supporting. They're right here, you know, in spirit. For real.
Okay.
They know.
So you say a job that you had 4 months ago. What job were you working at?
Oh, my gosh. I was working at a call center. I won't speak bad on it, but it was a call center. And, you know, they said, good luck on my little projects.
I tell people all the time, right, because lots of people like to shun their 9-to-5s, but at the end of the day, you got to look at it as your 9-to-5 is your investor,
right?
Because they're paying you now to go ahead and use those funds, if you're using it the right way, after you done pay your bills and your expenses, to invest in your personal self. And also, you want to pick a 9-to-5 that has skill sets that you can utilize.
Exactly.
Because if you know, we all talk this entrepreneur stuff because entrepreneurship is a fad now.
Yes, right.
You know what I mean? But if you never ran a business and you don't come from a family of business owners, how are you really going to run a business?
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So if you have a job that you can learn skills on,
right?
You can now take those skills because, hey, I didn't know nothing about tasks, how to delegate.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I had to work at a job. I didn't know nothing about accounts receivable, accounts payable, these things. I had to work at a job first and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
So yes, some people are just lucky enough to get it out the mud based on their experiences in life, and they can just go off and learn from failures and grow and build. I'm not taking anything away from those type of people, but sometimes, hey, you know what? Depending on your circumstance, you may have to not have a 9-to-5.
Correct.
So your mentality that you have, right? What do you think that came from to say, hey, you know what? Yo, I'm no longer wanting to work at this job. I'm done. Adios, amigos.
Right. So when I got fired, I'm like, okay, you know, I had
to. You got fired?
Yes, that's what I said. I lost my job. They fired me. And it was a rightful reason.
For what, though?
What you did, though? I was working on my nonprofit organization. They caught me 3 times working on my nonprofit. So I'm like, okay, I had to walk out with my head high. I did. I wasn't upset with them. But
I was using company.
But I was doing my job. They said it. They said, you do good work when you're here, but you just can't work on both. Work on it when you get home. Respect. Respect.
Okay, no, I can do that.
Respect, and I'm not mad at this company. That's why it's no bad blood. I ain't gonna name them or nothing, but they know. They
so what do you think about, what do you think about, right? Because I tell people all the time, it's like, they're like, oh, yo, I only talk like that at my job. But I'm just talking to you this way. No. Jobs have certain policies and procedures because they want things to go a certain type of way.
Very true.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the same way they may not want you to handle your outside business on the job because they're paying you for something.
Correct.
So I found it. I found that lots of times when I contract on people, they're working for what I paid them for, but then at the same time, they're trying to do something else.
Yes.
So I'm like, bro, I didn't bring you here for that. Correct. I brought you here to shoot me or to do what I paid you to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So do you accept what they did? Do you see it? Because remember, you're going to be a boss.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're a boss right now.
Right, absolutely. Right? That's why I said what I said. Like, I literally sat down and it was like a conversation and I was not upset. I took everything. I don't get mad. No, I've been through the worst. So it's like, I handle everything with grace. Everything. I pray so much. So much that I have to handle everything with grace because God going before me before I speak.
Yeah.
Period. Every time.
So how do you, okay, what information are you gathering, right, to learn so now you can be in that position to make sure nobody does that to you within your organization?
Correct. So I have several mentors. Like, I have a board that I built, you know, based off of people I respect it and I watched them and I was inspired by them on this journey. So now these same people I was inspired by that are amazing at what they do are on my board. And that speaks volumes alone because I attracted what I was. Period.
Attractive. There we go right that. There. Attractive mindset.
Yeah, definitely. So okay. I try to lead by example. You know, I've been through a lot. I was not perfect. Yeah. I'm not perfect still. I'm always learning. That's how I'm able to lead because I'm always learning, even from people that are younger than me that are bosses. Like the label that I'm about to get right with, it's a young black entertainment label.
Don't try to pass over that. Yeah. Hold on, the label that you're about to get right with, meaning are you creating your own label or are you about to sign to a label?
I'm about to sign to one.
Okay, so in the music journey, are you singing, you rapping? Like, what are you doing?
I rap.
What, can you spit something right now for us?
Oh my goodness.
Off the top. What's up?
Let's get it. No, don't do that. No, I'm going to just freestyle it.
All right, okay.
Well,
go ahead.
Y'all put a beat on at least? I need an instrumental. Oh, I need an instrumental. Yeah. You can't just do that. I'm not Glorilla.
You could do your Remy Ma real quick. Hold on, but it's okay. We're going to try to find
something. He said the Remy Ma. Shout out to Remy.
Shout out to Remy.
Yeah, I got a shout out.
Even though she left Pat for a scrub.
Did not want to touch on that.
But I think it was PR though.
Correct. It's
I don't think
PR.
That was a real thing. Because, you know, she's trying to start her rap battle club. So it's like, okay, you know, you need hype. You know what I'm saying? So what kind of instrument do you want? Because I'm from New York.
Can you do Mike Jones? What is it?
What, tipping? I'm tipping.
What is it?
Mike.
Yeah, it's still tipping.
You want still tipping?
Yeah. Still tipping on fofos.
Oh, hold on. Okay. So what you be listening to in your car?
In my car, I listen to myself. I listen to
Cardi. You don't listen to Drizzy?
Listen to Drake, baby. Oh, okay, yes. Okay. Big so champagne poppy.
Our hype over there hating on
love
my guy.
You. City Girls, Suki. Yeah. Listen. Yeah. Bit my. Yeah. Listen. Hold on. Listen. I'm stacking and racking these chips to the ceiling. I can't even focus on rapping. Hold up. Let me slow it up, ho. That ain't even my flow, though. Got rap hoes in a chokehold. Best believe I'm fly solo. Big drinking Big Tron. Hoes playing victim to the shit they cause. But I'm finna hit pause. These girls got me fucked up and I'm dropping they draws. Hands up, ho.
Dropping
that
they
cash.
Draws.
Don't want no ass. Baby, drop that, pop that, Cairo, pop that, and lock that. Listen, Big Ma, she so big, fine. Heart that deny. Leave your ass on red or hit decline. No time to play games.
Ish.
Or time to tell lies. Listen, cause I got niggas wanting a wife or lady. Must be thinking I'm dick crazy. Knowing they ain't got the cash. Niggas, they just want this ass. Big
Woo!
Ma, she know
we
the
want
game.
It.
Know the streets and I'm far from lame. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, know the streets and I'm far from lame. Niggas wanting a wife or lady. Must be thinking I'm broke and lazy. Knowing that is what stuck with me. You fuck with me and you stuck with me. Big Mashi, know the game, know the streets, and I'm far from land.
Oh!
Yeah, know the streets, and
you
I'm far
off,
from
land. Off with me. Yeah. You stuck with me. Mm-hmm. Really? No, I mean, I don't know. Let's uncover that. So if we hit that, that means we stuck with that?
Basically, I mean, listen. I mean, I'm not a one-hitter quitter. I'm always going to be on your mind.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yo, you was spitting.
Thank you.
So, who did you grow up like listening to?
Well, first of all, I love Aaliyah, and she's a singer. But I love her, and I was inspired by her because she was young and doing this. So I love to see young people going after their dreams. It's important.
Yeah.
Boosie, love Boosie, Trick Daddy, Trina. Of course, because my mama, she loved Trick Daddy. She do, and that's. I love my mama so much. She loved Trick Daddy. And she used to come down here. We never came with her, but she always used to come. So Trick Daddy, Trina, who else I used to listen to? Plies growing up. Okay. In that era when I could listen to music that I wanted to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When I had the option to choose.
Yeah.
Who else? Juvenile, shoot. All the old school people, Mike Jones, Hurricane Chris, Remy Ma, shoot.
Okay. Yeah. That's crazy because when she say old school, it's like, you know, my old.
Yeah, your old school and my old school, they different. They different, baby.
My old school is like Biggie and Wu-Tang.
Correct.
You know, Big Pun, Outkast. You know, that's my
I like them
school.
Too. I like them too. I like them too, but that's
but
not
Drake
like.
But Drake is hitting it right now. So
he really
Hype
is.
Hype over there tripping, talking about Drake
Listen,
can't sing. He can sing, dog.
He really is multi-talented.
Yes,
okay?
He's.
He
more
is.
Tricultural.
Like, listen, that man.
Plata through slata. I don't care what he is. That nigga can't sing. He disrespectful, but it's okay.
Correct.
We gonna check that after the interview.
Please.
Okay.
But yeah, man, love music, man.
So, yeah, okay.
That's why I'm trying to separate the two. People
so where do you see know. Yourself going in the music?
Field? I'm trying to sign, man. I'm trying to get up there.
So you trying to get a deal?
Yeah, with QC, the label.
Okay. Is that where the Migos was at, right?
Yeah, the Migos. Right. We got.
So what made you
Lakia.
Say you want to go towards a label versus being independent?
So I love independent artists. Like Yo Gotti is the prime example. Young Dolph, rest in peace. Prime examples of staying independent and being successful at it. However, I'm on a mission, you know? I'm on a mission. And I feel like the deal will get me where I'm trying to get to, you know, I need to be able to take care of my family and take care of my community.
So you're trying to leverage that.
Period. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can, that's
so
the deal.
So do you understand contracts?
I mean, I think I understand the basics of contracts, and I will never sign a 360.
Okay.
Ever. I write contracts, so that's just, I watched the artist sign a 360 deal and did not get an advance or nothing. He done did a whole, before he even signed, he done did a whole album for this dang label. and did not, and they dropped him. Mm-hmm. They ended up dropping him. So they own all this music.
So what's your thoughts on artist development? Because you know you got a lot of artists here now coming up. They don't really have the development. Correct. Do you think that's something that you may need, or are you ready to just go out the gate?
Oh,
with
no.
It?
So,
City girl with it.
No. So I feel like this has been something that's been in the making for a long time. Like I said, I've been writing music since I was 14 years old. Okay. My first time in the studio, I was 17. I'm 29.
You don't need a ghostwriter.
Yeah. I don't even want to name drop her, but listen, I told Shorty that today when we spoke, I said, I will write my own music. Of course, I would love to have that, you know, in the future, but right now, this going to come straight from me. So this is right from me. Yeah. And, you know, and she's so supportive of my career. This is where the guidance, all that, she is all that, what you saying.
Yeah.
She done made people already. So it's like, okay, I trust you with my career because you have a track record that speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. I can't knock that.
Yeah. She has the patterns of success that you're looking
correct.
For.
Correct. Like me.
Okay. So you're down here now, Super Cindy Day, right? I see you have the Mace Anthony Williamson. Sorry, I don't want to mess it up. Foundation. Oh, we are the voice for the peoples and the babies.
Yeah.
So what made you start this?
So, the Mace Anthony Williamson Foundation, that's the first part of my mission, right? Because mm-hmm. I have a twofold mission, mm-hmm. music and nonprofit. So I have, and community, I'll say, and community. And they all go together. So Mace Anthony, he was my son. Mace Anthony was my firstborn child. And he was born September 20th, 2017. And he passed away from procedural complications. So I'll say that. And after that, I couldn't let it go. And then I started this beautiful nonprofit organization in honor of him. And since then, we have the Doula Project. We have the Doula Project resource that provides unconditional support to families before, during, and after pregnancy. Okay. So, yeah, at no cost.
At no cost?
No cost.
So how are you going to like fund this project?
So actually, for the first 2 years, I funded this organization myself working and through, you know, donations and certain mm-hmm. sponsorships for events. But this is something I had took on. You know, I put my last into starting this. You know, I didn't just research it. No, I got a lawyer to start this organization for me. I did a process. Yeah, I hired a marketing company.
You got like, ARAB money, huh?
No, I don't. I did. Listen, they gave me just enough.
Yeah, just enough for the city.
Just enough to do this. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make it do what it do. Don't.
Just enough to do
that's
this.
That's just a mustard seed. Say less. I got you. Don't worry.
All right.
Yeah, they thought they was going to gag order me, but you know.
Okay.
This is so how I'm going to speak.
After this whole situation happened, because you said you lost your son, right? Did you go through any type of therapy or anything like that to help you kind of balance yourself mentally to heal?
I did. So I was connected with an organization called Heartstrings. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Heartstrings.
Mm-hmm.
And they connected me with another mother who had, sorry.
So
another mom who had experienced loss, you know, and similar to me, but not the same. And her name is Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And I will always carry her. And we built the bond, you know, and I didn't need therapy because she was that for me, you know, for a period of time. And then God blessed
another person?
Me. Yeah, it was another person. Mm-hmm. Her name is Rachel.
So
and
do you think it was effective, though?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely mm-hmm. was. It was effective. And then just also having this program, you know, these moms, I feel like the more that I'm able to do for my community and serve these mothers, mm-hmm. I have a group chat that I talk to these moms every single day. I sent them a picture of these hens I'd seen or roosters down here. So this is family to me. This is healing for me to even have a nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
I don't need a therapist. Therapist, if I asked her when I first went to speak with a therapist, I said, have you ever lost your child before?
Mm-hmm.
See, because when we're touching on loss, we got to speak on the different types. I've never lost my mom, so I can't speak on that. I've never lost my dad, so I can't speak on that. But I can speak on the fact that I lost my son, and that's unnatural. Mm-hmm.
So
only if you went through it can you understand.
So you were looking for someone that basically went through what you went through. But, okay, what if the person probably never went through what you went through, but they're able to speak to the psychological reactions that you may have from the loss.
Correct. So I felt like God had me on a journey. He knew that I needed to speak with somebody who went through it first, because I did end up going back and having someone that I, you know, connected with.
What
and
if,
stuff.
What if you spoke to someone that went through it, but they didn't go through any type of therapeutic process?
Right. But she did, though. That's what I'm saying. Okay. That's why I don't. Nothing that I'm telling you, like, mm-hmm. literally, I don't play no games. Like, mm-hmm. this woman is somebody who's literally probably helped save my life, because I didn't know who I was after I lost my son. I planned a life for that child. Mm-hmm. He would have been 6 years old. Last year, I was dead as fuck because I'm like, bro, I was supposed to be taking my son to Disney World on his fifth birthday. You know what I'm saying? So it's always the would've, the could've, the should've. And when you gotta constantly battle that, only somebody who understands that can speak to that. Not a book, not a research, not nothing can ever speak to loss unless you have been through it, period. Yeah. I'm sorry, okay. Sweetie.
So you did say that the person that you spoke to had the therapy.
Yeah, she did. Right? She did. So then she was white too.
Okay.
You know, that's a difference. With the black community, we don't really preach therapy. That wasn't something that was preached to me mm-hmm. when I lost my son. The only thing my mama was wanting to know, did you get a lawyer?
Why? Because you wanted to.
Okay. To get money. So let's really talk, right? So it wasn't, is you going to get help? It was, are you going to get some money for this shit? So just know.
Well, you know, that's the unfortunate part in our community, because a lot of times we don't understand that we came from a time where we didn't get therapy from the struggles that we've been through, right? So lots of times we're just acting out of the dysfunction that we were in and just trying to live an everyday life,
yes.
right? Basically survive.
Correct.
Ooh, right? So, but I would still say that therapy is necessary.
Very necessary.
Not saying that what you didn't do wasn't therapeutic, because you were able to engage with someone that had the therapy. Mm-hmm. And then do you think your music was therapy for you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Just okay. because I had been through so many other things before losing my son. That's why I'm like, that was just the only thing that I could not let go and not speak on. Like, I have been sexually abused and stuff, you know, from 8 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. No cap. Family, okay. friends. So it's like, okay, I never spoke. I always kept my mouth closed. I can keep a secret real good. But this, I could not let it go. This is my baby. He did not ask for this shit. So I'm like, no.
So when you had your son, right, was he alive when you had him, or was mm-hmm. it a stillborn?
He was alive when he was in my stomach until they dropped the ball. Right, they were supposed to do a C-section on him, and they did not. So he ended up passing away in my birth canal. So my son's dad had to watch me push a baby out that was blue, and something that he'll never forget, because I couldn't see what came out. You know, I only seen.
Hold on, say that again. You said who?
My son's father.
Yep. So he was there with
him. He was there. Yep, his name is David. He was there. Yep, and we have another son together, but David, you know, he handles his grief in a whole different way.
Okay,
he's not a part of this. Makes Anthony Williamson Foundation. He's silent.
So why didn't you include him?
I asked him so many times, you know, and I know that we're on a different, he's dad, I'm mom, and it's always going to be different the way that we heal, the way that we see this. So mm-hmm. I have to respect his journey. I can't push this on him because I don't want to push him away from it. Yeah, so or knock him off or something, you know.
I commend that, right? So I tell people all the time, it's a difference with, like, we're human, but men and women are different. So I have a similar story where my ex-girlfriend, right? You know, we were expecting twins. But the doctors had told us that, you know, they weren't going to make it. She was like 4 months.
My God.
Right? So we agreed that she was going to go under to have the procedure, you know what I mean, to deliver them.
Right.
Because I have two kids before her, and I was there when my two kids were born,
yeah.
and they came out full of life. Yes. So I didn't want to see that.
Correct.
So I don't know if I was a punk or a sucker, no. or whatever the case may be. No. So long story short, she was in a hospital. I was there with her the whole time. And she was like, yo, you know, hey, look, they're going to put me under. And I was like, that's cool. But I was younger, and I know I was wrong at that time. I was like, man, I got a show to go to. So I dip and went to the show, and she hit me and was like, yo, look, I'm going to push the babies out. And I was like, yo, what are you talking about? Like, wow. You wasn't supposed to do that. That's not what we agreed upon.
Right.
And she was like, mm-hmm. yeah, nah, but this is what they, I was like, yeah, but they can't tell you, you were supposed to be the one that agreed to say, let's go under. So long story short.
Wow.
I got extra tipsy at the show. So she went through the whole procedure by herself.
Right.
So I get there the next morning mm-hmm. and our twins are in the, I don't know what that called, the tray. Yeah. Now, God. I didn't see them when I walked in. So I was just like, yo, everything's going. I was like, yo, how's everything going? And she's just there like still.
My God.
And then I turn around and I just see my two sons sitting there. And I'm like, I just flipped off. I was like, yo, why are they still here? Okay. Like, but I totally understand now that she was just going through an emotional shock because her first son, she delivered, but the dad wasn't there for her first son. So she psychologically felt like, yo, look, I delivered another kid and you wasn't here.
Yeah, and they passed.
That's and they hard. Transitioned. I don't like to say pass. I like to say transition.
Good one. Because I
feel like, you know, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. So I hear other guys that was able to sit through the process. And I'm like, I couldn't. So I'm like, damn, was I weak at that time for doing that? Because, you know, after that situation, even though I tried to be a better man, she was just never able to forgive me for that. You know what I'm saying? So would you look at that like as a form of weakness? Or but how did you look at your son's dad when he stood there with you through that process?
Well, David, he showed so much strength. During that time, you know, he had to go back to work. Like Mace was in the NICU, because they didn't tell us that he was transitioned when he first came. They.
It's okay.
It was a cover up. So we had to sit with our baby on the monitors for 6 days before they even told us that he was brain dead. And then they, before that, they told us that he possibly could have cerebral palsy and that we could bring our baby home. So we were planning to bring our son home and take care of him how we needed to.
Yeah.
But then when we had to find out that he wasn't coming home, period, you know, that was like, oh my God. But David could not beat up. When I was staying at the Ronald McDonald House, he had to go back to work. So I had to stay at the Ronald McDonald House by myself and go to that NICU every day by myself. And when Dave got off, he would come and be with me.
Yeah.
So that day, it was so hard for him because he wasn't there for me during a lot of that time. So when he got the news about me transitioning, it was hard. It was like, damn, like I'm thinking, you know, I'm going back to work and my son gonna be okay. You know, I could have been here for her, but I was thinking that y'all were taking care of her and him. And it really wasn't that, you know, y'all was covering y'all tracks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In a way.
And, so do you think that's why
he was strong though?
Do you think, because for me, right, that moment that everything was going on in my situation in terms of her possibly losing the twins, when I was reaching out to my job to try to get, you know, FMLA and things like that.
Yeah.
They was like,
that's crazy.
We'll let you know. And I'm like, bro, I done been here for like 5 years. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Slaving on this job. And I'm telling you, this is a serious situation.
Yeah.
You guys gonna let me know? Like, I need to be there, you know what I'm saying, for my girl or whatever the case may be. So do you think at that point, was that the moment where you said, yo, F9 to 5s?
Yes, that has a lot to do with it. It does. That it's a host of other things, but that one thing was a catalyst for, you know, how I knew that I had to just take this and just go with it. Like, you know what, if I don't got a job, I'm gonna be as impactful as possible. I'm gonna write as many programs, grants, as whatever I can do, because I ain't not working, baby. I'm working for God right now. Let me tell you, I told you I'm a servant. So when I'm writing, I know.
Hallelujah.
What I'm doing, for real. It's no lie. That part, for real. So, you know, I was never discouraged. Like when I lost my job, I said congratulations to myself, because it was like stepping into, okay, it's on me what this becomes at this point.
Facts.
I picked the phone up that day I picked it up. I said, all right, bet. Now I got to go full speed. So I knew that this nonprofit, God was not going to bless me with music and how I want it until I did what I needed to do for him. And I'm doing it.
So do you think you had a pause on your music because maybe your music wasn't the right music to put out?
Well, I don't think that it was that. I think that it wasn't the right time. Because like I said, I've been in the studio since I was 17 with KO. Shout out to KO, my dog. I love him so much.
Okay.
He got me in the studio. And then when I moved back to Florida, which was last year, because I was in North Carolina from 2016 to 2022 last year. When I moved back here, I was homeless with my kids, for real.
Like, so when you say homeless, what do you mean?
Like when
you sleeping
people
in
say
your
homeless,
car or
see people see homeless and be like, oh, you're outside. That's not true. Stop being so freaking silly. Homeless means it's not your own. Look the definition up and it will tell you what homeless means. It means to not have your own home, a place that is not your own. I've been having my own place.
So we live in
18.
So if I live in an apartment, I'm homeless?
No, if it's not your own space, if you don't pay rent, duh. And you're not paying bills, that's not your own home. You
so
are
where
homeless.
Were you? Where were you?
I was living at my grandmother's house in one room. She wouldn't let me cohabitate with two rooms, with two kids.
So you wasn't homeless.
I was, because she put me out. She evicted me and my kids. Oh, this on paperwork. See, I don't lie.
Okay.
See, you getting the story out of me and I ain't trying to go there. But
you
just
know. I'm just saying, because when you say homeless, because you said when you don't have your own home, but if you staying with your abuela.
She not my abuela. No, abuela is different, sweetheart. You can't use their language. See, when they say abuela, they carry something.
My grandmother.
Sweetheart. Yeah, okay. My grandma is Betty Terrell. Rest in peace. My grandma would have never put me and my children out, ever. So I love her. I forgive her. But she is not an abuela. She is my daddy mama. And we had an issue. And she felt like she wanted to take it to court. And it wasn't, like, that's what I'm saying. When this come out, when you see the documentary, you'll see the footage. So I'm not finna get into all this
right now. So you
got a documentary,
okay.
Like, I'm not. You're gonna
see
it.
So homeless, without a home, therefore typically living on the streets.
Okay.
So you wasn't living on, okay.
Typically. Look up typically.
No, you're right.
Okay. All
right
then. All right. Okay. All right.
We got a technicality.
All day with you. Toe to toe. Toe to toe. I'm big on spiritual wellness. I'm big on spiritually intelligent, emotionally intelligent, financially intelligent. You have to be intelligent in all those ways. Because especially if you're not spiritually smart, baby, it don't matter how many degrees you got.
Facts.
It don't matter how many M's you have. If you're spiritually fucking stupid, you just are.
Okay. So you had an entire journey, Queen, right? Tomorrow you're going to be at Super Cindy Day.
Yeah.
But just let everybody know, like, what's next for you?
What's next? What's next for my KRE? Because that's what's next. My KRE is what's next. You know, like, my Waller has done what she needed to do. So when you see my KRE, you got to look up my KRE. Who is that? That's my Waller. Oh, that's her. The girl with the nonprofit. Yeah, I need the difference. I need people to know my Waller, amazing nonprofit leader for her community, woman of God, all that. And my KRE is the exact same thing, but she could spit.
She could spit bars.
Period.
Okay. All right.
And I'm not playing. Like, I'm not playing until I get to the top.
Hey, well, you're already going there. You came out here by yourself. You made the investment, right?
Yes,
so that lets everybody know that you appreciate and you understand the journey and the path that you're on, right? This has been such an amazing time with you, right? We've been following each other like a long time on social media.
For like 2 years.
Like I tell people all the time, it's a difference between just seeing social media and then seeing somebody in person that's saying, yo, I've been following you. I've been seeing you. I've been looking at what you're doing and then the content that you're providing, it's been impacting me. So when you linked me and said, yo, you're going to be down here and you ready to do this, I was like, oh my God. So I thank you so much for coming on the iTalk Great platform.
Thank you.
For the people, just let everybody know where they can find you at.
All right. So thank you so much, first of all. Yes. Love always to you. But the people, they can find me at MyTheExecutiveOne on Instagram. You know, just follow me on there. MyTheExecutiveOne. MyTheExecutiveOne. And then my music, MyKRE. Listen, look me up. And that's it.
Hey.
And the Mace Anthony Williamson Foundation. Let's really talk about it. Hold on. Let's get it. You know, we're not even going to play. And that baby, that's the first baby ever that was in this program. The mom, her name is Delicia Smith. This baby is Zahid.
And is that you on this? On this?
I'm not on this flyer at all. I used okay. to, when I first all started right. this, I was in this brochure, but I had to take myself out of it because I okay. said, no, I have a team. Now I have doulas. I'm the founder and I'm a doula too still, but mm-hmm. this is what y'all gonna see when y'all come to this organization.
So when you say doula, people, sorry, when you y'all. Say doula, what do you mean? Like,
so a doula,
before we go real quick.
Of course. Yeah. So a doula provides unconditional support, resources, love to families before, during, and after pregnancy. And the Mace Anthony Williamson Foundation Doula Project Resource is the voice for families and babies. So we are supporting families up to year 5 and beyond. So, wow. Yeah.
That's so amazing, Queen. You continue on your journey. You are shining.
Thank you.
Right? I can't say you've been. You are.
Thank you.
You are leaving the trail for other queens and other women that probably doesn't have a voice and don't feel like they could come out and speak this. Because a lot of people don't realize this ain't easy to get on here and sit down here and just tell your story.
It's not.
You know what I mean? It takes courage. It takes vigor. Yeah. So you've been doing that. And you're about to tap into major figures.
Thank you. Let's get
it. You already know what it is, man. It's Mr. Williams with the I Talk Great podcast. And we out of here. Yeah.
Let's get it.